Our feature reader today is Sally Ito. Born in Tabor, Alberta, Sally Ito is the author of a memoir, a short fiction collection, and four books of poetry, including Heart's Hydrography, published by Turnstone Press in 2022. She is also a translator of Japanese poetry. Ito teaches creative writing in Winnipeg, where she lives with her husband. Please welcome Sally Ito.
Hi, everybody. I see some familiar faces, and I'm really happy to be here tonight. Thank you, Angeline, for hosting. And I'll be reading to you from Heart's Hydrography, which I know is a mouthful, especially the hydrography part. And hydrography sort of means the study and science of waterways. And I'm kind of looking at the navigation of the Heart's waterways. And if you can see the cover design of the book, the cover design sort of reflects the title. And it's a kirie designed by my uncle, who's a paper cut artist in Japan. So I kind of drew a mock-up of what I was thinking, and I gave the titular poem to my uncle and his wife, Michiko Tsuboi, who I co-translate Japanese poetry with. She translated the poem, and then he drew the image from that. So this is the cover. And I'm going to start by reading the titular poem, Heart's Hydrography, which actually mentions a German poet that I translate with two German reading poets, Sarah Clausen and Joanne Epp. And this poet, her name is Katharina Regina von Greifenberg. And the reason why I translate her is I find her fascinating because she's a woman of faith. And the way she writes sort of was interesting to me and inspiring to me. So I mention her in this poem because I found that I was kind of struggling myself in the place that I am in my faith with language as a poet. So I was starting to look to other poets in other languages to help renew my faith and restore my faith in language. Heart's Hydrography. Those meanderings of the soul, how they spout or sputter, bubble and froth. There is deluge and flood, and then the sea, that undulating womb of water in which infant me is wafting. The poet, Katharina, channels, restrains, controls the flow of churlish water winding its way through the heart's time terrain to saturate devotion soil with prayer present wave after wave of words. The river in me is dried up, no longer capable of melt or sorrow. What happened to Gethsemane's tears? Its salt water turned to blood. Why are they not in me to bring me back to that sea which we in spiritus sanctus once were and still wish to be? So that's Heart's Hydrography. The next poem I'm going to read is called Sermonica. And again, I was grappling with language and writing poetry about faith. And, you know, there's this tendency when you're writing to sometimes want to make a statement or preach somehow, right? You're writing along and all of a sudden you find yourself preaching. And I really was conscientious of when I'm writing a poem, I don't want to be preaching. But it was hard to resist the temptation not to do the preaching. So this poem's a kind of about that. Sermonica. To play the pipe of words and be not in dull obedience to them. Make poetry your art of exhale, exhort, extol, exult. Rally the words, corral them into courts of praise. Make gallant your attempts to woo with wonder and consternation. Your abstruse confusions, your startled revelations, your mulling meditations. Affix the collar, and like God's dog, bark, yap, and yowl, but unlike a cur, neither snap nor snarl, and raise your head to hear heavens invisible. Lower snout to ground to snuffle nuzzle the earth. Oh, but then doubt strikes its gong, and the head swirls and swivels in confusion. Why instruct at all? Why make them listen? Of mortal misgiving, I am mostly made, and thus play words to proclaim. Language is a creature you cannot tame. So one day I was thinking about something, I don't know, and all of a sudden this word came to me, and that word was houndstooth. Some of you are poets here, you know that sometimes there comes to you a word and it just has some kind of captivating juju and you want to write about it. And that's what this word did to me. So this poem is called Houndstooth. Houndstooth, its jagged pattern in suit jackets and trousers and skirts. The word hounds me and will not let go of imagination's leg. It has dug in deep and affects my walking, my journeying day to day in this soul park of being. I wonder why I've been made captive by this heaven hound, this dog of the Goya painting, parked in the middle of a vast, formless sand of yellow, its ears perked up, eyes alert. It has heard the call of mystical nonsense and then bitten my leg to tell me of it. Now I limp and stagger, trying to find a name for it. Not the dog, but its wounding, and it is houndstooth. Houndstooth is all I have in my coin purse, arsenal, letter bag of words for things seen and yet also unseen. So I have a number of poems about winter in this book. And it's interesting how Rowan Williams wrote the blurb for my book in the back and he talked about winter landscapes. And I thought, oh, yes, winter landscapes, of which I am very familiar being here in Winnipeg. So for this reading tonight, I thought I would read to you those poems that were inspired by being in the season of winter. Winter's Eden, and this is inspired by Katharina Regina von Greiffenberg. In this winter's Eden, when the eyes are lined with the salt rime of tears, lo, a flower blooms in all that blasts and blinds, unfolding its petals hour by hour in this world womb of woe. It stops time, and with its fruit ushers in the old garden made new. As with a plain of newly fallen snow after a storm, heaven's ice will gleam and glitter there, and our footfalls will go backwards from their stray blue wanderings to the cross piece, that flower-fingered, pierced hand that has lit this wick of longing and brought light into darkness, like him who into the sky brings in the orb that makes day out of night. So this next poem is called Snow Globe. And I see Ariel Gordon is here, and Ariel and I like to mudlark. And I think I had this dream about which this poem is based after one of my mudlarking journeys with Ariel. Snow globe. I dreamt I found a snow globe in the riverbank, and inside its glassy orb, another globe. In that one, I was digging through another bank, this time of snow, as if that other eye would never find myself in time. I awoke before I could pick up the globe, and that was when I wrote this down. Strangely, I remember not the image, for there was none, just the word snow globe pressed upon the mind like a heavy paperweight, insisting I write it down and make of it a poem. So 1 year in January, and I've noted it in the title of my poem, in January 2017, there were these really fantastic ice formations on Winnipeg Beach. I don't know if any of you remember that year. It was just, they were just crazy sculptured, almost like frozen waves. So a couple friends and I, we drove out there to have a look at those formations, and they were just fantastic. And there was a newspaper report at that time saying conditions never seen before on this stretch of lakeshore have made for eerie formations of ice and snow. So I've quoted that report. So this poem is called Ice Formations on Winnipeg Beach, January 2017. Teats and testicles, stalactites and stalagmites, pucker and purse, pustule and pimple, dreadlocks and dynamite sticks, a waterspout or tornado, all frozen, of course. The eye mouthing meaning into each unnamed icy protuberance, as if you are running a finger over a dill pickle or humming a tune, rubbing the udder before milking. And what of the holes in the ice, big enough to shelter in? Grotto, cave, cell. The words ring religious, as if your presence in them is a bell clapper, a stone in the well, plopping in the pond of a frozen mind. Actually, I thought the poem ended there, but it goes on to page two, so I'm going to read the rest of it. Who in this place has sought refuge or mercy, you wonder, been blessed by the wan light above, leaking through the hole in the ice, where framed are flights of birds, silhouettes of trees, the stars and the moon? Is this God's embrace or the ascetic's ecstasy? I do not know, but to get in, you must stoop and kneel, creep and crawl creaturely into the shiny studded maw of ice, and dwell for a moment as if wholly consumed by cupped waters that will soon melt back into an inchoate sea. And this last poem I'm going to read is called Walking on Water, and it's about walking on the river, which is really a miraculous thing if you think about it in the wintertime. Walking on water. What winter makes possible, walking on water, springtime's gush quelled into sheets of ice, in death's season, such are the miracles. No one believes this miraculousness, so ordinary it is, the foot crunch of the pathfinder made steady by a vein of liquid now hardened into rigid roadway. Walking every day in winter is a resolution and calls for determination. Overcoming is a word best suited to those who braved the icy land bridge in its coldest hour to set foot on a continent hitherto unknown. Those who seek will find, was it not promised? And everyday miracles will be part of the discovery of the soul's newest terrain. Thank you.